and a bit of Waterboys there and Hole of the Moon. And we're going to be exploring in the first hour today how art makes us feel, maybe how music makes you feel, but more of that in a little while. How do you communicate grief and loss, love and hope, when the country you were born into is torn apart through conflict? Today we gain insight into the power of art to communicate grief, a state of mind, the state of a country, and the ever-changing state of personal relationships and personal connection. Louisa McMillan, creator of Another Day Lost, an installation by Syrian UK-based artist Issam Korbaj, is here to share her insights. She's a writer, she's a specialist in modern and contemporary Middle Eastern art, and she's here with us today. Hello and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, the installation has been running in Al Sakal Avenue at the Yard, and today is the last day for people to see this installation. It's an incredible story. It's been on an incredible journey, and the journey continues for this installation. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, Another Day Lost is based on an aerial imagery of Az-Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan, but it's loosely based on all of the refugee camps that we have seen springing up outside of Syria's borders over the last 5 years. It looks like those aerial images of Zaatari, but it also is made from these discarded and repurposed materials. So the artist, Issam, repurposes books mainly. He lives in Cambridge, so whenever a library or a second-hand bookshop has a clear out, he will rescue these books from ending up in the rubbish dump. And with them, he makes exquisite sculptures. And he was working a few years ago, making these little boxes. And then when he had enough of them, he thought, this really looks like a refugee camp. And that's really where this whole thing started.
It's a fascinating story, and of course he's created many works, and since the trouble started in March of 2011, we're going to be speaking to Issam later on the phone from the UK. And when you look at this installation, I mean, you're the curator. How did you first meet Issam and get connected with his work?
Well, in 2008, I was working at the British Museum, and Issam was one of 13 artists featured in an exhibition called Iraq's Past Speaks to the Present. He was the only non-Iraqi artist in that exhibition, but he was being very sympathetic about the Iraqi plight. And so he'd made these an exquisite work all about what had happened during the Allied-led invasion in 2003. So we showed that as part of this Iraqi exhibition. And then 3 years later in 2011, I curated a small display called Modern Syrian Art at the British Museum, in which his work was included again. And while that exhibition was conceived in 2010, it was on display at exactly the time that the uprisings were happening in Syria. So when we did a gallery talk, naturally, my experience of having lived in Syria and the fact that Issam is from Syria became actually the central theme of what we were talking about. Then 3 years later, he wanted a freelance curator to work on an exhibition based on what was happening in Syria. By then, he'd had a bit more time to process what happened over the last 3 years. And that's when I started working with him very closely.
You know, you're a British, young British woman. As you said, you worked there in the British Museum. You went to Oxford, but you did study in Damascus. So you know this part of the world well.
Indeed. I was extremely lucky in that I got to live in Damascus for my year abroad as part of my degree. I used to go back a great deal as well. And I was there, I mean, as recently as December 2010. So it was really a city where I feel very much at home. I've never felt safer in my life, and I knew it extremely well. I lived in the old city, and I used to go and get myself lost the whole time, so I got to know all the warrens and the back streets.
And it is the idea, you know, another day lost, and when we think of time, how much we can maybe waste time, or whether it's for good or for bad, you know. So there you are, whether you're meandering around a street, losing yourself, losing time in a beautiful way. You know, we've talked about this in the past, about how good it is for us sometimes to just, you know, not be thinking and processing too much on our phones all the time, just walk without purpose and maybe lose yourself and lose a bit of time. We're perhaps very scheduled and on schedule and always thinking about deadlines and being on time. And that might be for us in our Western world, but what we're really seeing here through this installation, Another Day Lost, is the plight of those people who actually time is incredibly precious to them, and you're witnessing a conflict, but it's the consequences of the conflict and how that's affecting people where they live, being displaced, becoming refugees. It's all about time, but how we perceive time and what it means to us.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that's very difficult for many of the Syrians who are living either as displaced people or indeed as refugees is the fact that really life ground to a halt that day in March, and nothing will ever be the same again. And every day that passes, there's definitely a longing to go to have something carry on. But of course, it can't. It's in utter stasis. And especially living in a refugee camp, you know, it really is living in a sort of limbo.
So we're going to be finding out more about how art affects us and how through art can we really translate a message or transfer a message or, you know, initiate some kind of emotional feeling or learning or thought or change. And begs the question for you today, what's your favourite piece of art? What's that favourite, whether it's visual art, whether it's music, whether it's literature? What is the art form that's affected you in some way? Let us know on 4001, you know the number. And I'm giving away 3 VIP tickets to World Art Dubai, taking place between the 6th and 9th of April at the Dubai World Trade Centre. Now, this event, it's where you can fall in love with art you can afford. There's everything there for you to enjoy when it comes to culture. There's going to be an impressive collection, largest collection of Japanese artists and galleries showing there. Also, alongside Tesla Art Car by Peter Klassen and Galleria Mechanica. There's conversation, talks, creative learning, workshops presented by Microsoft. Lots of topics when it comes to the ABC of art collecting and collecting in a digital world. Street art as well, the local Jam Jar creative learning workshops. They're holding those workshops for adults. So there's lots really to explore and enjoy when it comes to world art that's happening here in World Art Dubai. So if you fancy those 3 VIP tickets, let us know the art that affects you in some way, whether it be a visual artist, that work could be a piece of music, whatever it may be, a poem that's affected you in some way. Let us know on 4001 with your name.
We imagine migration in miniature. As then the holiday season descends on New York, a new artwork is a sobering reminder of those who are much less fortunate. Another Day Lost is a recreation of Syrian refugee camps. It's the brainchild of Syrian-born, UK-based artist Issam Kurbaj. Discarded packaging and old books make up the compact cab. Burnt matches form the perimeter fence, and what they lack in size, they make up for in scope and emotional punch because the matches count the more than 1,700 days since the start of the Syrian conflict. And in a fitting tribute to its subjects, the installation itself is also a refugee of sorts, migrating from exhibits in 5 locations across London to Manhattan's Trinity Church. All funds raised during the exhibit will go to UNHCR and Médecins Sans Frontières, who are all doing so much work in those camps in Turkey, Jordan and Lebanon.
And we are talking to the curator of the installation Another Day Lost, and we're going to be speaking to the artist in a little while, Issam Kurbaj, listening there to the CNN report, because this installation, Another Day Lost, has been showing here in Al Sakal Avenue at the Yard, but it's on its own journey, as the reporter there was stating. So Louisa, just listening there, it's been in America. Where did it start?
Another Day Lost was originally conceived for the Shabak Festival, which is a festival of contemporary Arab culture in London, in July last year. We showed it in 5 simultaneous locations. If you traced the pattern of those locations, they roughly related to the pattern of camps outside of Syria's borders, of course on a reduced scale. So we had originally had these 5 simultaneous locations in July. Then we showed it in September on a boat on the Thames, which was very timely with the Mediterranean crisis. And then we took it we were invited to take it to New York as part of Trinity Wall Street's Artist Advocacy Program. It's more recently been shown in Philadelphia. And then for the 9th time, we showed it in Asarkal to commemorate the 5th anniversary of the Syrian uprising.
So every time, I mean, you're going to be packing this up over the next few days to move it on. I mean, how big is it for a start? What sort of scale are we talking about?
Well, there are about 10,000 of these little sculptures that represent tents, and they're roughly the size of matchboxes. So in Asarkal, we have 10,000 of them, but we've got a very large space there. Previously, we've had all sorts of different spaces. We've shown in churches. We even showed inside a UNHCR tent once. So really, the installation itself adapts to its location, much in the same way that refugees have to adapt to their location when they find a new place to go and live.
And you mentioned the UNHCR, the United Nations Refugee Agency, and Syrian refugees in exile. And just looking at the catalogue, with the conflict in Syria now in its fifth year, millions of refugees are caught in the alarmingly deteriorating conditions, facing an even bleaker future. With no solution to the conflict in sight, most of the 4 million Syrian refugees see no prospect of returning home in the near future and have little opportunity to restart their lives. And this is what they state about Another Day Lost. Another Day Lost is a series of installation based on the lives of Syrian refugees, and you can see how this is helping raise awareness. And we've touched on as well with Médecins Sans Frontières, they also talk about the conflict in Syria. And in fact, even today, just hot off the press, you know, just terrible scenes happening in Greece, looking at the chaos on the Greek islands with the migrant crisis. And in fact, aid workers, volunteers, supporters have actually pulled out at the moment out of the refugee camps in protest of some of the demonstrations and behaviours there. And that's including the UNHCR and Médecins Sans Frontières, the International Rescue Committee, Save the Children and the Norwegian Refugee Council all halted the logistical and aid programmes for refugees on the islands this week, saying that they wanted no part in a system of detention and deportation. So it's such a complex area, but at the end of the day, what we're really talking about here are human beings. And how are human beings affected? It's going to be fascinating talking to Issam in just a little while about how he feels seeing his homeland and his people from the UK. That's where he's based now. He's not returned to Syria since the conflict started. And so as an artist, how you are perceiving it and how you show the rest of the world. Where does it go next?
Well, we're going to be showing in Budapest later this year. But I also think that it's quite important, this idea that because Issam repurposes materials, he uses discarded materials to represent discarded lives. And particularly in the case of this installation, because he's used books and medicine packaging, he's highlighting the fact that these refugees have healthcare and educational needs.
So how does art affect you, whether it's music, whether it's the visual arts, the written word? How does it impact you, and who are the people that have had that effect? Let us know on 4001. Mary's texting to say the Mona Lisa, which of course is one of the most iconic and famous pieces of work. It reaches, in fact, actually I was just in the Louvre recently, just a year ago, and went to see this for myself, and it does have this amazing impact when you stand in front of it and watch and look at this work of art. You're in the business of art. You are a curator. What took you to art in the first place, Louisa?
Well, I was very lucky in that I studied Arabic, and having got this Arabic degree, I wasn't really quite sure what to do with it. I then did a master's in Islamic art, and from there I joined the British Museum. And it was my former boss at the British Museum, Venetia Porter, who realised that my heart was in modern and contemporary Arab art. And it was a way that I could use my language and my lifelong love of art and marry those two interests.
And how do you define for the layman the difference when you say Islamic art and modern Middle Eastern art?
Well, Islamic art was produced in the Islamic era, so under Islamic dynasties. So it really ends with the fall of the Ottoman Empire in 1917. And it's really sort of court-sponsored art. It's not sort of expressionism made by an individual for the sake of making art. That really happens a bit later in the 20th century, when young Arab artists move to Europe and study in European art schools and start making art in a more westernized sort of, in a more westernized school of training. And then later in the 20th century, you begin to get these more national and more Arab-based art schools of art that arise.
Well, people texting in how they've been impacted. One person here saying Picasso is my all-time favourite artist, just to relax and look at all his different styles. That's from Paul. Martin says my favourite piece was Olafur Eliasson, The Weather Project, 2003-04 in the Tate Modern in London. On a typical grey rainy day in London, we wandered into the Turbine Hall and the sun was shining. I went to that as well, actually, Martin, and he says, what an awesome idea. And it is incredible how art, and particularly installations, when you actually are a part of something in a space and you get a sense or a feeling, and how you are affected by being part of the installation, part of the art, is quite something. So keep your messages coming in on 4001. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Issam Kubaj on the line from Cambridge in the United Kingdom. We'll be finding more about the journey of Another Day Lost and how he hopes his work is affecting others. And if you've got any questions for Issam or for Louisa, then do text in on 4001. So discussing the idea of time lost with creator of Another Day Lost, an installation by artist Issam Kubaj, marking the days since the Syrian conflict started and counting those days. So in conversation with Louisa McMillan, the curator, the installation has been showing here in Dubai in Al Sakal Avenue at the Yard. And we're going to the phone lines and we've got the artist Issam Kubaj on the line from the UK. Good morning to you, Issam.
Good morning to you too.
And whereabouts are you at the moment, Issam?
I am currently in Cambridge, UK.
Ah, lovely Cambridge. And that's where you reside and that's where you teach art, I believe. Yes. But of course you are no stranger to this part of the world. You're originally from Syria and you've been creating amazing pieces of art and documenting not only the crisis and the troubles, but also I think highlighting the plight of people in humanity when it comes to refugees and being dislocated. Or feeling disconnected, displaced.
Absolutely.
Issam, tell me, Yes. We've been talking about your installation, Another Day Lost, but you explain it to me and how you came to this piece of work.
The piece actually is incredibly simple in its means. It is recycled books, and I go to the charity shop and try to find out what kind of books they cannot sell. I collect it from them. But the theme of the book has to speak with this idea of home, of journey, of migrating, of not being, if you like, at home sometimes rather than home itself. So I take these books and take them apart, if you like. So the idea of the action itself, it becomes part of the concept of the piece. So I take these pages apart from each other and make some notes and some marks on them, make some drawings on them, and then score them, fold them, cut them, and make these stamps out of them. So the process itself as a performance, and then the idea was actually to create this refugee camp after seeing this quite devastating life, if you like, of these people in the Zaatari camps in Jordan. And the idea is to create this camp and make a fence around it. And the fence itself should speak, if you like, part of the whole idea of counting time. So every time we show it in one particular place, as we were saying, that we showed it in different places in London and in New York and Philadelphia, now Dubai. That is, the fence has a story to tell. Each time we show it, we add, daily we add one burnt match to commemorate the day lost.
And that's really important to highlight, Issam, the striking of the matches every day. So, Louisa, what day are we up to today?
Today is the 1,840th day since the Syrian uprising.
And so when will the match be lit today?
Well, we would normally light it at noon, but as I'm on this show, it'll have to be at about 12:30 when I get to the installation to open up.
And it's been rather fascinating, and then it's captured so many people's imaginations, Issam. And we've been asking listeners today, you know, how art affects you, and can it really affect change? What would you say to that?
It was really incredibly surprising for me this trip, this time to Dubai, the way how people literally came and were shopping. It was really quite a very big responsibility for me as an artist to see that my artwork is affecting people into this kind of deep emotions. And particularly, of course, having this chance to work with Louisa on the scale, the way how the scale actually served the idea very powerfully. And these camps became cities, if you like. They were supposed to be contemporary structures. They are becoming cities. And particularly in Dubai, what we have different from other locations, we have the if you like, the scale of the piece was really enormous. And then we had the burnt matches to start with. Then we have a row of unburnt matches. So, if you like, the combination of the burnt and the unburnt, it's part of the new, if you like, extension of the idea. And then we took the ash from the unburnt, from the burnt matches, and we buried them in one of the corners of the gallery, or of the space, because it's not a gallery. And it just, the tension between the simplicity of the material and the association with the camp and the burnt matches and the unburnt matches and the ash itself, quite the chemistry of emotions, if you like, was really very powerful for me and for us to witness this. So it was quite really unexpected reaction, because we did not experience this kind of clarity of emotion as we experience it in Dubai. And for us, if you like, art has a purpose to serve, but each time has, if you like, what kind of idea, what kind of audience, the reaction is different. So for this particular project, I was really quite taken by the way how it's perceived, and it's continued to perceive around the world.
Well,
so next we are going to do it in Budapest.
Yes, I understand. Your next is Budapest, and the installation in its own way is like a refugee. It's moving through the world, and it alters and changes according to the environment that it's in. So let me share this with you. One of our listeners is texting. I've been asking the listeners, you know, for the artwork or the artists that have affected them, and Khalid has texted in to say Fateh El-Madari's works have had a big impact. So tell me, there's a connection to you in this story, Fateh El-Madari's.
Sorry, I don't understand this one.
Fateh El-Madari's is somebody that one of the listeners has texted in to say that Amal Fateh is one of his inspirations, one of the artists.
Ah, yes, of course. Yes, now I got it. Yes, Fateh El-Madari's. Yes, of course. It is actually again another teacher of mine, great inspiration of mine. And here he is, again, somebody that was my teacher and was my inspiration when I was a student in Damascus. He actually spoke very little, and this is part of his magic as a teacher. Then we did have a very nice conversation in his studio when I finished my degree. And I used to visit regularly his place because I organized an exhibition of his work in Damascus, and then I exhibit his work with my work here in Cambridge many, many years ago. Sadly, he died in 1999, and I felt that he's somebody who had so much to offer to the world, from being a painter, being a composer, and being a writer. I have this great chance to read his beautiful short story called The Sprig of Mint. And it is to do with the way how the northern part of Syria inspired him as a painter as well as a writer. And I felt that what I do now is completely different, because he was a painter in many ways, and this is what I studied in Damascus. But equally, I studied architecture in St. Petersburg and theatre design in London. And so this particular installation has, if you like, echoes from painting to architecture to theatre design in one place.
Mm. Hey, Sam, I wonder also if you'd like to talk about the black mark that is on a lot of the tents, because I know there's a relevance with Fatih and this black mark that you use.
Yes, absolutely. This is very well spotted, Louisa. that actually, in 1999, when my teacher died, I had an exhibition in Cambridge, and I decided to dedicate it to him. So at the entrance of the exhibition, I put his picture, and I put this black line in the corner, which is tradition in our culture. That is, when somebody dies, we put their picture. It's a kind of mourning line. And then when this particular piece started to grow, it is echo another piece called Unearth, where I had this book cover, and all these book covers has this, if you like, black line in the corner. So what I have done with this particular piece, my marks have many different connotations, if you like. Some of them are fragmented letters, some of them fragmented songs, and some of them purely a black line in a corner as a form of mourning. So traditionally the idea of mourning is one picture and one line, but imagine it is the tent and the line. So it becomes, if you like, a three-dimensional mourning in terms of the structure. But I felt that these marks have too many functions. One of them is visual, one of them is metaphorical. The metaphor is really very clear. Most of these lines are black, and black is a mourning. I'm sure that it's, being in the Arab world, you are familiar with it.
And Issam as well, we just started at the beginning of the conversation with you playing some music from Farouz, and explain the relevance and the inspiration behind that piece of music.
You see, the idea, when this is part of the magic of our discussion with Louisa, that is, when we started this project, we really wanted to create, if you like, a living object, a living structure, a living installation. So the idea of Ghaba Nahar al-Akhar is to grow out of the concept. And when I was discussing this early on with Louisa, and I was saying that I'm really interested in creating this object about refugee camps, and very, very simple question was, and we really didn't stop thinking about it for a while, when Louisa said, is there any fence? I said, no, there is no fence around this installation, Louisa. And then a week later or so, I said, yes, actually there is a fence. And the fence reflects the idea of days, and the days are relating to another day lost. So the song was written by the brother Rahbani, the Lebanese composer and poet, in many ways. It reflects the story of the Palestinians and the dream of their return to their homes. And to use it in a completely different context with the Syrian refugees, it just feels very appropriate, because probably we are not learning there is a crisis, and this crisis is, if you like, creating another crisis, and sadly the world is still living with this crisis so far for 5 years in a place that it shouldn't, such a fantastic
Well, it is. It's challenging times indeed. But Issam, thank you very much for creating this piece of work. And it's clearly reaching so many people on so many different levels. And of course, when we are looking at organizations like Médecins Sans Frontières, who are very much in support of your work, and as you are supporting them in their work, and the United Nations Refugee Agency, organizations like that, but also the man on the street, the woman on the street, who get to see this installation. And for those people listening who want to get a snapshot, then do have a look at Issam's website. We've connected all of the information on our website as well, so check out dubaieye1038.com and the social media there as well. Issam, for now we have to let you go, but thank you so much for talking to us from Cambridge there in the United Kingdom. We'll continue talking to Louisa, the curator, but for now, thank you very much for your time today. Issam Kouaj.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to talk to you both.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And one of our listeners texted in to say, I went to see Issam's exhibition and it was indeed, it had an emotional impact. The sheer scale and size of the camp, so many small boxes reflect the size of the refugee camp. So people have still got the opportunity to see the installation. Louisa, give us some more details as to what to expect. And also just to go over again the idea of the lighting of the match and the use of matches in the installation.
Yes, well, as Issam just explained, when he was developing the concept, he was just working on the tents. And I said to him, well, a refugee camp needs a fence. And then he came back to me a few days later and said, I'm going to make a fence out of burnt matches. Again, using this idea of discarded materials to portray discarded lives. And then also this idea that every time we light a match, it's a day that has gone by. So there are indeed 1,840 matches in the perimeter, burnt matches in the perimeter fence. They're arranged in tally marks because they've been counted so far. But then the new matches, which continue the perimeter fence round and they run into the wall, aren't in tally marks because the future is uncountable and unknown and we don't know what to expect.
So when the installation moves, you'll be taking this down from tomorrow, I guess.
Yes.
And then the plan is for June in Budapest.
Exactly.
So you can't take the burnt matches with you.
No, we can't fly with the matches. So every time that we pack up all these little tents, and even 10,000 of them fit into one suitcase, which is rather amazing when you see this huge installation on the floor shrink down into one suitcase. We then, obviously, we cannot fly with matches, certainly not unburnt ones, but even the burnt ones are at risk. So every time we arrive in a new country, we have to buy, you know, over 1,800 matches and start lighting them once again, which again is a very traumatic process. It's much like Issam was describing when he eviscerates the books in order to make the sculptures. You know, sort of destruction in order to make creation.
So this is all consuming. It also has quite a poignancy for you with losing your mother, and she knew Issam, and it's quite a dedication to her as well.
Yes, no, she met Issam just before, at the beginning of last year, as we were developing this project. And she had been very ill for many years and saved up all of her medicine boxes to be included in the installation.
And you know, just the impact art can have, and it's very personal and it's very subjective, but it's not to be underestimated. And so this journey continues for the installation Another Day Lost. One would hope and like to think that it wouldn't need to continue for too much longer, as it keeps marking the days of the Syrian conflict.
I wish today was the last day that I would be striking a match, but yeah. Sadly I don't think it's the case.
And what else for you? What else is on the cards as in your work and the work that you do?
Well, I work with a handful of artists and I work in, I do lots of different things for them. I do some translation work for people, particularly from English into Arabic, friends of mine who want to have Arabic writing in their artworks. I also work with a couple of Iraqi artists and I help them either, you know, writing about their work, writing for their website, doing research for major exhibitions that are happening. So I'm very lucky that I get to work in this field.
What a world to work in. Thank you very much for your time today. And we apologise for delaying the striking of the match today, but it will be struck this just in about half an hour's time.
Exactly. And I hope anybody who wants to come and see the show will come and do so today.
Yeah, do head on down there. Yeah, Alsacal Avenue at the Yard. Head on down there this afternoon. Until what time this evening can they go?
Until 7, but if anybody wants to come later, they can get in touch and I'll leave it open for anybody.
Well, we've posted all the details, all the connections on our blog post today at dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today. For now, creator of Another Day Lost, Louisa McMillan, thank you very much.
Thank you.